Remember that Jesus fed the 5,000? And then, a little while later, Jesus fed the 4,000? Miracles. And the Pharisees, also, chapter 16, verse 1, with the Sadducees, they came and they tempted Jesus, tested him, desiring that he would show them a sign from heaven. The Pharisees themselves believed that the demons could do any of the miracles that Jesus did. Feed the thousands, raise the sick, give the sight to the blind, etc., etc. But the Pharisees believed, now the Sadducees didn't even believe in spirits. Remember, that's why they were Sadducees. They didn't believe there was life after anything, so they were just a whole other category. But the Pharisees, testing Jesus, said, give us a sign. But just not any sign, a sign from heaven. They heard about the 5,000 being fed. They heard about the 4,000 being fed. They saw the lame walk, the blind see. But they said demons could do that. But only God works signs in the heavens. So do something in the sky. Desiring, tempting him that they would, that he would show them a sign from the sky, from heaven. See, that's what miracles are good for. Each time you see one, you want to see another one. Pretty soon you believe there was a trick to that one, and a trick to that one, and there are not enough miracles alive to keep you on track. If you're looking for some sort of miracle to do it, you're looking to the wrong place. And the Pharisees say, do something up in the sky. It's a test. And he answered them and he said, when it's evening, guys, when it's evening, you say, it's going to be fair weather tomorrow, for the sky's red. When in the morning, you say, it's going to be foul weather, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the time. You can look around and predict the weather, but you can't look around you and see what time it is. You can't remember what Daniel said, even though you've read it many times in chapter 9. Daniel told you when Messiah would be here. Look around when Isaiah said that the scepter would be taken away. Look around and see what time it is. If you can predict the weather, hypocrites, look around and see what time it is. I'm the Messiah. Isn't that enough? Look around and see. But hypocrites, you know, people only see what they want to see. You'll notice in your life and in the lives of others you know, you believe what you want to believe and you disregard all the rest. You just choose what you want to believe. I've talked with many people, so have you. I say, do you believe this? They say, yeah. And I'll say, do you believe that? They say, yes, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in hell. Why? Because I choose not to believe in hell. I don't like that. I don't like the fact of hurt, pain, owie, hot, burning. So they just say, I don't believe in hell. Why? Because I choose not to believe in it. Some say, I don't believe in God. Why? I just choose not to believe in Him. Why? You've got to go get out into eternity to prove for sure that He exists if you're going to take that approach. So why would you not believe? I just choose not to. You hypocrites, you can look and tell what the weather's going to do today and tomorrow, but you can't look around you and see what time it is. Messiah is here just as predicted, just as promised. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, verse 4. And there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Remember, he said the same thing to some of the Pharisees and scribes earlier on. Jonah is the sign of a resurrection. He was swallowed by a great fish and was there 3 days, in the belly of that fish 3 days. And that's a resurrection. He was spit up there on the shore and he was alive again. And Jesus said it'll be the same way. And that's the sign He's going to give them. His resurrection from the dead. And He left them and departed from that area. We won't go into great detail on the sign of the resurrection because we did that already. What was it? Chapter 12. A few chapters back, remember? Jesus said the same thing to them. We talked about the resurrection and the prophet Jonah. Well, when His disciples were come to the other side, they forgot to take food with them. They forgot to take bread. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Oh, and he said, well, as soon as he mentioned leaven, that's bread, right? That's the yeast. That's the. So they reasoned among themselves. He's saying that because we forgot to bring lunch or dinner. We forgot to bring bread. So he's kind of rebuking us. When Jesus perceived what they're thinking, he said to them, "Oh, ye of little faith, why reason among yourselves that it's because you haven't brought any bread? Don't you understand? Don't you remember the five loaves of the 5,000s and how many baskets you took up when we were done? Or how about the seven loaves of the 4,000? How many baskets you took up then? Remember feeding the 5,000 and all the food that was left over? Remember feeding the 4,000? See, Jesus says it's two miracles. Remember feeding the 4,000 and how much was left over? How is it that you do not understand that I spoke not to you concerning the bread, that you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" He says, how could you be thinking that I'm upset with you for not bringing food? Don't you remember the miracles? We could feed you without. He says, now think hard. Then they understood that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware, he says, of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of the false doctrines, the false teachings. You beware. You're expecting others to beware. You're hoping someone will write a book on it. Because for some reason we don't read our Bibles, but we seem to have time to read all these other books. And so you're hoping someone will write a book on. The Bible is the book written on it, but someone will write a book on what's written on what's written. And that's what Christians are sort of counting on today. Help me to understand the false religions. Read your Bible. And beware. Beware means to be on guard. Be on your guard. When you're in the military, some of you are put on point guard or watch, it's called. And your job is to stay awake while others are asleep and to watch and to listen. Even in the middle of the night when you can see nothing, to keep looking and to listen. And immediately, if there is any sort of noise, you wake somebody else up in charge and say, "I heard a noise." And if it's nothing, it's nothing, but we're going to check out that noise together. Because you're in a position of being aware of what's going on. Are you, like the disciples, are you aware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They want to get you to act like them, to dress like them, to walk like them, to talk like them. They want to get you away from following God and following them. We learn later on that some people want you to follow them. So they'll come up with doctrines of demon, doctrines of men, and they'll get others to follow along after them instead of following Jesus. Well, the disciples, Jesus says to them as they're going away from the Pharisees, he says to the Pharisees, "You hypocrites, you can look and see what the weather will do, but you can't tell what time it is. The signs of the times." Now, no one knows the day or the hour for Jesus' return. But he had given us some signs to look for. He says, this is what it'll be like. What will it be like? Well, one thing it'll be like, he said, it will be peaceful. You say, where does he say that? Well, read through your Gospels, and Jesus will tell you at his first coming, not at his second coming during the great battle at Armageddon, but at his first coming to gather his church, he says, it'll be like the days of Noah. What were the days of Noah like? Everything was an uproar. There was... No, they were marrying. They were giving in marriage. They were eating. In other words, life was pretty peaceful. Things were going on. Now, not all upheaval, not all everything in chaos, not all... Just the opposite. Peace. Everybody just prospering, doing well. Not during the middle of a Great Depression. But on the other hand, the days of Noah, everything was just fine. That's why when Noah kept warning that trouble was coming, nobody listened. If they were in the midst of starving or in the midst of their major troubles, they would have said, okay, Noah, anything to get us out of this. But Jesus said it'll be just like that when the Son of Man comes to take his church. Or he said it'll also be like the days of Lot. What were the days of Lot like? Oh, you could say homosexuality was rampant. Sure it was. But was it a problem? Not to them. There, where Lot lived, how were things going? Fine. Everything was running smooth and well. People were happy, healthy, and whole. Lot vexed his soul daily. But Jesus says it'll be like that. When the angels came, they took Lot out, and then depression came and trouble. So Jesus says, look around, see what time it is. He's coming soon. He gave you some signs to look for both his first and second coming. And the Pharisees just weren't interested. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to see it. There are people today who just don't want to hear it, don't want to see it. Because, you know, there's not a lot to be gained by it. But you, disciples, you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And that's what he's telling the boys. And they say, well, he must be upset because we didn't bring any bread with us. No, we could feed you miraculously. The point is, beware of the doctrine. And then they understood. Well, when Jesus came to the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, that's about 20 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, right around there, about 20 miles. When he came into the coast there, he asked his disciples. They stop and it's just those. They're sitting around talking, or maybe they're walking. And he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Many times he called himself the Son of Man. He's called the Son of Man in the Old Testament. He's the Son of God, and he's the Son of Man being born of a virgin, the miracle, the sign to show that God was going to keep his word. The Son of Man, he says, now who are men saying that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. Who are they saying I am? What are people thinking? They're north now, about 20 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. From this point, he's going to turn and go south and head on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. Now he stops, and there are two things that his disciples need to understand. He wants to be sure that his disciples understand two things as they now head down and he's going to be crucified. Number one, he wants them to understand and be sure who he is. And number two, he wants them to understand and be sure what he's going to do. What's going to happen? Jesus today wants his disciples, all of us who follow him, we have to know two things. Who he is and what he has done. You need to know that. And so he says, who are men saying that I, the Son of Man, am? What are they saying? Who do they think I am? And here's the answer he got, because his disciples kind of mingled through the crowd a lot. And his disciples said this, some say you are John the Baptist. You know, others are saying you're Elijah. Some saying that you're Jeremiah. Others are saying you're one of the prophets. Or in the other Gospels we read, you're that prophet. That's four different responses from his disciples. Who are the people saying that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Remember, John came preaching, repent! And he was a wild, ferocious guy. And he was a serious man. And he didn't pull any punches. And he said, when people came to be baptized, I'm not going to baptize you. Show me some fruits of repentance. Show me that you've changed and I'll sprinkle you or wet you down here. John. Some say you're Elijah. Remember Elijah, the prophet of fire, miracles, marked his whole ministry. He called fire down from the sky, and he was kind of a feared dude. I mean, when Elijah came to town, people thought, are you here with good news or bad? The prophet of fire, he was called. Some said Jesus was Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He wept over the lost souls, over the house of Israel, the lost sheep. Some said that prophet. When they say the other prophet or that prophet, there was a prophecy given by Moses that there shall arise a prophet like unto me. Remember Moses said? And he'll lead you and teach you. So the lawgiver, like Moses, there's a prophet coming. Who do people say I am? Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah. Some say that prophet that's supposed to be like Moses. Today, we should all answer that question. Who do you say, Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who do you say He is? You see the response of the people? They thought He was four different guys, possibly. Today, although we don't think so, churches have forgotten who Jesus is. And churches themselves, groups of people, some of them think He's John the Baptist. And they call themselves the First Church of Repentance and Morality. First Church of Repentance and Morality. Good church. What do? They tell their community to repent, that's all. Repent. They're always making sure they repent. They picket all stop-and-go markets and Disneyland. We write our congressmen and only give them warnings. You want to keep your job ugly? And we organize, activate, and mobilize. We're the First Church of Repentance and Morality. Because if we're not careful, we think Jesus is John the Baptist. Think about that a second. Some churches think Jesus is Elijah. People still think He's Elijah. They wouldn't admit that, but they call themselves the First Church of the Prophet Elijah with wonders and signs following. They let everyone know they are the miracle center in town. Need a miracle? Do you need a miracle today? Visit with us. Everyone who comes to our church speaks in tongues and is healed or is kicked out for lack of faith. Fire shoots across our sanctuary. It's the happening place, electricity. They have forgotten. They start to think Jesus is Elijah, that prophet of fire, miracles all about. You know, some churches think Jesus is Jeremiah. And so, the First Church of the Evangelical Machine have $1 million budget for missions, offer classes in door-to-door evangelism so you can be taught exactly how to do it right, and they have special meetings where you can weep over the lost. They've forgotten, and they start to think that Jesus is Jeremiah. Some churches think that Jesus is that prophet, the one like unto Moses, the lawgiver, the First Church of the Hermeneutical Exegetical Hebrew Greek Fellowship. We have 5 to 6 hour Bible study marathons every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights, and holy days of obligation. We offer Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Chaldean, and Latin classes. We parse all of our verbs. And our doctrine is precisely written and correct at all times. Some say Jesus is John the Baptist. And they forget. Some say Jesus is Elijah. And it's all fire and miracles. Some say Jesus is Jeremiah. Some say Jesus is that prophet, the lawgiver like unto Moses. Are all those things bad? No. Jesus didn't say those prophets didn't have a job and were outstanding men of the Lord and called and sent to do those specific things. That wasn't the point. The point is, who do you say Jesus is? Notice the answer, or the question. Who do men say I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say that prophet, like unto Moses. And he said to them, who do you say that I am? How about you? Who do you say I am? And the answer comes back from Simon Peter, and he is speaking for them all. But he's the one with the boldness to say it out loud. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. That means, the Christ means the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of the living God, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. You are the promised anointed one. You are literally God in human flesh, God the Son. Now, he didn't say that because he was supposed to. He didn't say that because he had just seen an amazing miracle. He didn't say that out of some sort of emotional thing. He said it simply, well thought out, because the question is, who do people saying that I am? Well, they're saying this. Well, what about you? Who do you say? You are the Christ, the anointed one, the true Son of God. Interesting, don't you think? Jesus is not just a motivator for us politically and morally, like some people see him, a John the Baptist. He's not a teacher to us intellectually only, like that prophet will be. He's not a power for us only, a power for us miraculously, like Elijah was. And he's not a program for us in missions ministry, like Jeremiah was. He is those things, but he's not only those things. Jesus is everything. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's not programs, it's Jesus. Jesus is what you and I need. That's what we need. Should you read your Bible? Yes. Should you do missions? Sure. Should you write your congressman and even say something nice? Sure. But you got to remember who Jesus is. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the reason. Jesus is everything. That's what we need. That's what we like. We want to know Him. We want to follow Him. We want to become more like Him daily. Now you can go overseas, over to Africa, over to Europe. You can go to, we had a group go to Thailand. You can go to Mexico. You can go anywhere and minister. And that's great, and we're called to do it. But do you know Jesus? Do you have Jesus? Are you becoming like Jesus? Who is He? He's not just a motivator, a teacher, or a power, or a program. He's everything. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is that why you come to church? Jesus Christ. Is that why you read your Bible? Jesus. Is that why you love one another and serve one another? Jesus. Jesus is everything. And that's what people don't seem to want to get a hold of. That's what people, they don't seem to want a personal relationship with Jesus. To really get to know Jesus. Who is He? Who do you say He is? Is He John the Baptist to you? Without you even ever giving that any thought? Is He Elijah? Is He that prophet? Is He Jeremiah? Who is He to you? Jesus is everything. Everything in the world. You need to know Jesus, born again. You need to have Jesus Christ in your heart to be born again. You can do all these other things, but you need have a personal relationship with Jesus. That needs to be the motivating factor in your life. To know Him. To follow Him. To become more like Him daily. When I first got saved in 1973, we would sing a song at this little Baptist church over in Guam. It was a song in a Billy Graham movie, I believe. The song was called He's Everything to Me. And the words, some of you probably remember, till by faith, I met Him face to face, and I felt the wonder of His grace. Then I knew that He was more than just a God who lives up there, who really didn't care. Now He walks beside me day by day. ever watching o'er me lest I stray, helping me to find the narrow way. He's everything to me. Can you say that? Is that why you do what you do? Because the truth is, you have to answer the question in your own life. You can look around and Jesus could say to you, who do people say I am? You say, well, some I can see, they think you're just nothing but a great teacher. You're just nothing but a missions machine. You're a miracle worker, just wonders and signs. It's got to be. Or you're just the moral, political motivator of our time. That's what people are saying about you. And Jesus would look at you and I and say, now who do you say that I am? You are everything. You are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I want to know you. I want to be like you. I want to walk with you today. That's why I read my Bible. To get to know the Lord. To know what He wants. That's why I come to church. I mean, there are all kinds of things that will happen. All kinds of things the church will do. But it's for one reason and one reason only. To recognize and to tell the world that Jesus Christ is everything. Who is He? Peter says, you are the anointed one of God. You are literally the living Son, the only begotten Son of God. God the Son, in human flesh. God. That's what Peter was saying. And every one of you will have to answer the question. Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And you say, well, I can give you the right answers, but you're going to find out that Peter, along with the other boys, except for Judas, excuse Judas, they're going to not just have said it out loud, but they will live it the rest of their lives. When Jesus says, who do you say that I am? He's not talking about what your words are going to say only, but what your life is going to be like from this moment on. When you say, I recognize you are everything. You are the anointed one that's been promised. You're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You're the living Son of God. And they will go on now and live that way. And those are the couple of things that Jesus wanted to be sure that they knew. Number one, who He was. Next, He's going to tell them what He's going to do. We'll stop here and we'll talk about what He's going to do later on. Let's bow our heads together as we prepare to worship. And it may be something that you've never really given any thought to. Who do you say Jesus is? It's shown by how you and I lived just today, so far, up to this point. Who is Jesus? Jesus is everything. And He needs to become everything. He needs to be my reason. He saved my life. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me before I even knew Him. And the rest of the song says, He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. He loves you. He paid for your life. He is God the Son who gave His life for the sins of the world. He needs to become everything to you. That's the answer. The answer isn't counseling. Never has been. The answer is Jesus. The answer isn't more money. It's always been Jesus. To know Him. And people come and say, just Jesus? That's it? Just Jesus? Sounds too simple. Sounds too boring. Yes, just Jesus. That's what we're all about. To know Him. Because to know Him is to know the Father. To get to the Father, you come through the Son, He says. Who is Jesus to you? Who do you say He is? Lord, we ask You to work in our hearts. There should be joy there. In spite of everything that surrounds us. You promised a joy and a peace so that our minds and our hearts would stay in the right place. But first, before all that, we have to be able to answer who Jesus is. Some people see Him as a great teacher, as a moral, political leader, as a miracle worker, as a lawgiver. We see Him as everything. He does all and more. Lord, we want to be like Jesus. We want to know Him. We want to be close to Him. We need Your help. Hear our hearts as we worship You this morning. Listen to the cries as we cry out to You. In Jesus' name.